Holy shit.
It's a special
Cleats
day.
Out for blood.
It's a special day. That
it's a very, very special day. Welcome to the Abyss, everybody. And the reason today is such a day, which, you know, we're recording it on the day, is our fourth anniversary of starting this show. 4 years ago.
4 damn years.
It's crazy. It somehow feels like 4 years, but then again, it doesn't.
Yeah. No, that's pretty crazy. I was just, when you said it, I'm like, I thought we just started last year.
Does it feel like that to you? Like we've only been going for a year?
I mean, I remember where we filmed the first episode. It was in that little fancy, your grandpa's.
That was the second episode.
It was the second episode.
The first one here.
Yeah. I dropped the mic. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Clumsy. It was freezing. Ass. It was winter.
We had no heater up in the little studio.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the big leagues.
I remember we were doing Skinwalker Ranch there and whatever you were covering.
Yeah. And
was
it's.
Maybe it wasn't Skinwalker Ranch.
I don't think it was.
I'm wrong.
I know our first episode was the Pied Foo Piper Fighters. And the Foo Fighters, which go back and listen to it. It's cringy. If you're just listening to us, don't need to go back to the beginning. Stay with us now. Yeah. We're so much better.
Yeah, just do the last
so
five.
So much better.
Just kidding.
The last five. Yeah, do more than that. But we're drinking a special beer, and I'm really hoping that I didn't strike out a fourth time because the last three beers I bought were absolute ass. But this is the Imperial Red Ale. It's the anniversary commemorative series 20th anniversary from Red Rock Brewing, and it's a special release.
This is a good fucking beer.
Special release. Okay, so I redeemed myself a little bit.
Close to 10% alcohol.
Like, yeah, 9.5.
Shit. We're gonna start slurring our words real quick.
Sooner than we normally do. But honestly, though, 4 years is a long time, really long time. And just a huge shout out to everybody who has and continues to support us to this day. Whether that's, you know, just a single listener, if you're a paid supporter of the show or all the comments, you know, there's a lot of you out there who consistently comment on YouTube and we really appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a long time and it's been a lot of fun. And speaking of comments, I found a comment today that I didn't know existed on Apple from September, and I think you're going to like it because I got my first trash talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it starts with really enjoyable. It's 5 out of 5 stars, okay? And it says, y'all need a mute button for Britain. That's how it starts.
That's so true. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. I don't understand what that means. Y'all need a mute button for Britain, but otherwise, it's fun and entertaining. So apparently, I need a mute button. I sometimes feel like the jokes go on too long or are too far out of reach to be funny. Sometimes the quote-unquote jokes feel kind of gross considering the context, but I'm pretty sure I'm sensitive, LOL.
Well, sorry if we get gross. Thank you for enjoying the show. And I do agree, Britain should have a goddamn mute button.
I know. I guess I talk too much. I guess. I need some clarification. It's funny, though, because you were like not too long ago, you're like, I feel like I get all the negative comments because one person is like, Cleet needs to learn how to read or something.
He said I need remedial reading lessons.
Oh, wow.
But like, dude, we're reading Reddit comments. Like, there's no punctuation.
If you've read a Reddit thread.
You're trying to figure it out as you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, I can read better out loud. I'll give them that.
But it's funny. So apparently you can't read. I need a mute button and we're doing a podcast. The two best hosts you could find. So, but thanks for the comment. I'll try and shut the fuck up a little bit more.
My wife actually went and watched one of your movie recommendations from the last show, Nefarious.
I'm gonna guess she hated it.
Yeah, she came up to me after she watched it. She's like, yeah, I watched Nefarious. Britton brought it up in the last podcast. And I was like, okay, how was it? Yeah, I'm not going to watch shit you recommend.
Oh, I see.
She's like, it wasn't that good. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but in my defense, I don't think I said it was. I mean, I said it was entertaining. It was okay. I wasn't like, best movie I've seen in a long time.
Is a pass that it's good. That it's all right.
I've seen worse.
And what I heard is it wasn't that good. It wasn't okay. That's what I heard.
Okay. Well, I don't trust you or your wife's opinions. We'll just go there. I'm just not going to recommend anything to you. Ever again. You can go to hell. Damn. Is what I'm hearing.
Damn, dude. I'm hurt.
No, you're not. You have no feelings. But here's to 4 years. Awesome. Cheers to many more, hopefully, coming through. I don't know. We usually do this at the end, but we're getting really close to having the 500 subs on YouTube. I think we're at 457. Yep. So about 43 away, which will spark our trip to the Clown Motel in Nevada. Filmed. We're going to have the Ouija board and everything, and I think liquor. Also the liquor will be present. I don't know if that's going to help the content or hinder it. But once we go to Nevada, it's going to be a good time. We'll film it. You can kind of see everything. We'll see our ugly faces for the... I'm sure some people have looked us up on Facebook. We're not hard to
probably.
Find.
Ouija boards, spirit box, spirit rods, we'll have it all. Spirit We're going to be rods. Talking to the dead or ourselves. I'm not sure.
And sleeping in a creepy-ass clown room. Which the advertisement on the website says that they do monthly bug pest control.
Yeah, so the cockroaches don't.
So
get
the
out
fact
of
that they have to put that on there is, is good, like monthly. So I think we're think
you
we're
keep
safe.
That no, that that means that they have a chronic problem they need to keep in check.
Yeah, monthly. So hopefully we won't get too many bugs. But I digress. So for tonight, what is the topic that we're going to be covering, Cleet?
We'll be talking about mythical creature stories.
What?
Stories of people's like, encounters with mythical entities of which
like fairies and elves and gnomes and the like? Well, or cryptids?
The title literally says, people who have claimed to have seen mythical creatures such as fairies, elves, gnomes, etc. What is your story?
This comes from Cringe Emoji. So when I was a kid, I got a huge kick out of hiding in various spots around our house and then going out and scaring my mom or my sister whenever they would walk past. The challenge was finding new spots that they wouldn't see coming, but that I knew that they would be at.
Always up in your game.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to get a good scare, but I didn't want to have to wait an eternity for someone to come by. He's just like sitting in the hamper for 10 years. Eventually, my mom's going to walk through this abandoned room. This only happened once, and it still scares me when I think about it. I'd picked a spot in our attic on this day. I knew my mom would be coming up there because she was going to get out props for a church play that we kept up there. So I set up behind a stack of boxes and waited. About 5 or 6 minutes in, I heard someone very faintly say, "Hmm," as if me being there was interesting and maybe unsuspected. Unexpected. The sound came almost directly behind me, and I immediately froze. Then I felt a breath on the back of my neck. Now, I was raised on a farm, and the number one rule when encountering something that you assume you have no control over, coyotes, lynx, snakes, and the occasional irritable cow, is not to make any sudden movements. Then you slowly remove yourself from the situation and create distance without provoking whatever you're faced with. So I sat there for about 20 seconds, shock still, absolutely terrified. After that, I slowly stood up and started to move away. I wasn't about to turn and look behind me. I got 2 steps and a hand clamped down on my right shoulder. Nope. I screamed, wrenched away, and ran until I was out of the house. Once outside, my mom and sister came running to see why I was screaming. They'd been outside with our dogs the entire time. My dad was at our other property, almost 10 miles away. Sure, I could have imagined it. Never happened again. Nobody believed me then. My mom and dad both made multiple trips to the attic to show me nothing was up there. I don't know what it was, but it was something.
That's creepy, man. I'm telling you, as a kid, like, I think you're just closer to the veil and you just see things and hear things that you're... You don't as an adult.
Oh, yeah. I think it was just his mom up there hiding, too. Like, I'm going to get this little shit now.
I'm going to get him so
and
good.
And she just jumps out of the attic and goes outside. I've been outside the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. All right, this one is from Delicious Debauchery. Did not see anything, but every time I tell this story, people say that it was a fairy. This is the one and the only inexplicable moment of my life. About 10 years ago, I got home from school and threw my car keys on a leather ottoman in my man cave. Every day, when I come home, I would do this. Throw keys on ottoman, turn around, and go to the bathroom. When I returned from the bathroom, even though I saw my keys land on the ottoman, the keys were gone. I was home alone, maybe in the bathroom for maybe 30, 45 seconds, looked all around the floor, no keys. Checked under the ottoman and couch, no keys. Lift the ottoman off the fucking ground and shook it over my head, no keys. At this point, I convinced myself I imagined throwing my keys, and I had, for some reason, put them on the bathroom counter. No keys in the bathroom. Turn back around, and the fucking keys are sitting right on the ottoman. There's no way. Recalling this incident gives me chills, and it is the only thing in my life that convinces me of the existence of the paranormal. You know what it really was?
His mom found him.
No, we're in a simulation, and like... Someone was like viewing him like through a computer screen in the higher dimension. They're like, let's fuck with him.
Okay.
Watch the keys are going to disappear. He's taking a piss. He gets back. He's out
there. We got him.
Oh, shake it around. Let's put it back.
That's a callback to the iceberg conspiracy theories. It's all a simulation. I was just going to say, I think it's just get the wife or your mom to find them, because I swear to God, if I can't find something, they go and look in the exact same spot and they're there.
There it is.
Every
it is.
Time.
But you just need to look.
Every, yeah, I look there.
Like literally right there. It's like it's not on the table. And she goes over, picks it up. It's like, cool, wasn't there. Anyway, this is from Paperboy. My daughter and I regularly and reliably saw a hide behind from my kitchen window. This eventually led to us learning the truth about this Midwestern mythical creature. A hide behind, huh? What we saw was 7 or 8 feet tall, bipedal, spindly legs, gaunt with protruding rib cage, no horns or protruding ears. It slash they would lean out from behind a tree in the forest behind our house. If you moved about, it would pop back behind the tree. We never saw more than one at a time, but there seemed to be more than one, as height varied. We sometimes saw it multiple times a day. The behavior was always the same. It seemed wary of us, but if we stayed out of sight, it would lean out into view for a few seconds at a time. When we sent the dog out, it would run off into the forest after it, but never chased it into view, so that told us nothing. I viewed it through a rifle scope and got a good long look at it silhouetted against the snow behind the trees. It was really creepy, like a Slender Man or something. I could determine height by going out and measuring the trees we saw it next to. I, of course, did not shoot it, since you should not shoot what you cannot identify, and the only large bipeds hereabout are people, though nothing human is that tall or narrow. We knew the local legends, and this matched the description and the behavior. We dug out our trail camera, but solved the mystery before we got a chance to set it up. Sorry to disappoint folks, but we solved the mystery, as I'm sure many have before us. As winter sets in, the deer like to stand on their hind legs to eat the tips of pine tree branches.
Just the tip.
They're totes scared of people, and will always do it behind trees. But every so often, one that is sick, starving, had twins, or gave birth too late in the season, will be desperate. The desperate ones will lean out to get the untouched branches in view of the house, but if they sense movement, they duck away. A large deer with corvid wasting disease standing on its hind legs is a bizarre 8-plus-foot-tall skeletal-looking thing. Damn. With a protruding rib and sunken-in gut.
That's still creepy, though.
Yeah.
Because it had the wasting away disease?
Yeah, that's a rough disease.
The brain thing or whatever?
It's like this zombie deer disease.
Don't eat deer, man. Don't eat deer. All right, this one is from The Voice of Resin. Do UFOs count? I'm not convinced it was a UFO. I'm one of those, there's probably a reasonable explanation sort of guy when it comes to the paranormal.
No, the aliens did it for sure.
So I'm like 80% sure it was a mistake. My brain was just short-circuiting. Anyway, I was walking down the street one night and it was clear skies. I live in Maine, so the stars are out if it isn't cloudy. Minimal lighting pollution. I look up at the sky and there is what looked like a star just chilling. You know, like stars do. This thing was stationary for about a second or two when I looked up, and all of a sudden, it just goes from being stationary to just taking off across the sky. It was fast. Just looked like a normal bright star that just decided to zip off somewhere else. I believe in extraterrestrial life. Not necessarily little green men type, but some sort of life form has to exist somewhere else. After all, we exist. Never got why some people think would it be unthinkable for some form of intelligent life to exist when we are intelligent, sentient life living here on Earth. As I said, I'm sure it was just a trick of the mind. Perhaps it was a meteor or satellite that just appeared stationary when my eyes met it. Either way, I was taken aback by it. That's the closest I've ever come to seeing something paranormal with my own eyes.
Okay, this is from BBPR120. About 15 years ago, I was leading a week-long youth group backpacking trip in the mountains of Vermont. On the last of the trip, we were in an enclosed shelter, four walls, roof, and a door, off the main trail. After dinner, the kids, for whatever reason, decided that they have a sing-along, completely out of character for them, but whatever, we had a successful week. I set my digital camera to video and let it record the goofiness while they were singing Hakuna Matata and Weird Al's Albuquerque, all of it. And went to bed once they were done. Got off the trail the following day and set about cleaning my gear and wandering through all the photos and videos to put up my Smug Mug site for the families to see. Going through the videos of the sing-along, I hit something I wasn't expecting. In the gap between songs was a deep, unnatural voice asking forcefully, "Do you want to die?" Lord.
Oh my god.
One of the kids just, he lost the lyrics.
Yeah, it was not an Elton.
Hakuna Matata.
Do you want to die?
It was not there during the singing because there's no way in hell that they would have launched right into the next song without commenting on it. Lots of goofiness singing and that bit of WTF in the gap between songs. For extra fun, around 2 a.m., one of the leader's dog, normally the goofiest, dopiest dog ever, got mistaken for a pony on more than one occasion. Stood up like he was going to bite someone and started growling incessantly with the hairs on the back of his neck standing straight up. He would not calm down for anything, got a bit snappy when I tried to move him away from the door. In the same time frame, said door into the shelter kept slamming open and closed as well, despite it being a calm, moonlit night with no clouds to be seen. I tied the door shut, and the dog slowly calmed down. I didn't get a lot of sleep that night, even less when I dug into the videos post-trip. No clue what the fuck was out there, but something wasn't happy with a large group intruding into its space. Never had that or anything remotely like that happen again on any of my trips into the mountains.
All right, this one is the ninth Nephilim.
Oh.
Okay, here it goes. I still have no idea what this was, but I do know what happened. I was 7 years old and staying at a babysitter's house. The sitter had a son, whom I'll call D, and the next-door neighbor had a daughter, whom I'll call L. This occurred in a rural bedroom community in North Carolina back in the 70s. Me and D used to spend most of our time at L's house next door because she had a swing set. There was a patch of woods behind their house, and a train track ran through the woods directly behind the homes. I only add this detail to let you know there was nothing back behind the homes at that time other than some woods and an embankment that led down to the train tracks. Elle's house was surrounded by a chain-link fence that separated her parents' property from the woods. It was summer, and we were in Elle's backyard playing on her swing set when this occurred. I was standing on the swing and pumping my arms back and forth as I faced the woods. I liked standing on the swing because it made me feel taller and I could see into the woods. I pumped my arms and I looked up into the woods and there was a creature that looked like a giant yellow robot from the 1950s. Well, what the fuck?
Giant yellow robot.
That caught me off guard. Anyways, and it had horns and a very angry face. It was facing to my left and walking through the woods. I screamed at the top of my lungs when I saw it. When I screamed, it turned and looked directly at me. I can still see that thing's face. I jumped off the swing, and D and L were yelling, "What's wrong?" I was obviously shaken and trying to tell them that there was something in the woods. We ran up to the back door of L's house and yelled for her mom to come out and tried to tell her what I'd seen. Of course, being a rational adult, she laughed it off and told us to go play. By this time, my mom had come to pick me up, and I tried to tell her what I'd seen, but she also didn't believe me. Usually, when my mom arrived, she would stay and talk to Elle's mom or Dee's mom for a bit while we continued to play up until it was time for me to go home, but not that day. I refused to go back near the swings or back to the backyard.
I mean, I wouldn't go back if I saw a giant yellow robot with an angry face.
Angry robot. Kill all humans except Fry. I'm in my 50s now, and I've never forgotten that.
Holy God.
I am not comfortable thinking I had a sudden hallucination, but what the hell else could have that been? It was truly terrifying, and I can still see that creature, whatever the fuck it was, in my mind's eye. There are a lot of scary things and just plain odd things that happened to me while growing up, but that one really scared the shit out of me. So someone says it reminds me of the Flatwoods Monster. Let's click the link. Ah, it's a penis. Just kidding.
Oh. Okay, this is from Butter of Fridge. I don't exactly know what creature it was, but anyway, here's my story. If anyone knows what it was, let me know. Ooh, I like a little bit of a teaser.
Ooh.
When I was in the fifth grade, we went on a trip with our school to this hostel at the edge of a forest. That's an interesting...
But a hostel?
Yeah.
Hostel's not bad, it's just a hotel.
You'd be like, in people. Grade school? We're going on a field trip to a hostel.
It might be in Europe. It'd be cool.
No. Have you seen the movie Hostel?
Yeah, the different things, man.
You don't know that. Me and the kids in my room, we did the usual thing of saying we saw something at the edge of the forest. One night, we did it again, and we'd already gotten a bit paranoid and sometimes thought that we actually saw something. And on this night, we suddenly all saw this pair of purple glowing dots at the edge of the forest. At first, we thought it was probably just a reflection or something until those dots disappeared, then reappeared about 10 meters to the right. When they reappeared, we could vaguely make the outer edges of the creature's body, which looked somewhat human. The eyes then turned to the right, and the second pair of purple eyes appeared. At this point, we were really scared. It got worse when we realized that those dots were probably eyes looking at us. From our window to the forest where those creatures were standing, it was like 15-20 meters away. We sat there, looking at them for about 10 minutes until those creatures turned around, and I left. To this day, I don't know what I saw at the edge of the forest and what they were doing so close to us. Didn't you watch a movie that was like H.P. Lovecraftian themed? It's like On the Edge of Color or something. It had like Nicolas Cage in it. You were telling me about it. What's like it called? Light.
Yeah. It's a different color they see and something happens.
That's what it reminded me of when I was reading it.
Something color.
The Edge of Color or something.
Yeah, no, it was good. I like that show.
I don't know. I don't trust you. I'm not going to watch anything you ever recommend.
I recommend the best show. Okay, this one is from Xanthopants. Fairy at my grandmother's house. I'm Irish. We generally believe in fairies. Not belief in the acceptance of others who do.
Yeah, the Irish, like that's where fairies came from. The fae in Irish culture.
Yeah. We even change buildings and planning permissions and talk about it in government. No one should ever upset a fairy tree. A single tree in the middle of a field, usually hawthorn. I saw a fairy when I was 9 in my grandmother's garden. She had a hawthorn tree in the garden, and I used to leave secret treats and gifts for the fairies there.
I'm going to guess that someone's going to uproot it, and they're all fucked. That's what I'm going to call.
One day, I was laying on the top of the shed under the tree, looking up, and I saw a fairy dance across the branch and disappear into a crack in the tree. It was very fast and looked mostly like a dirty little street urchin.
LSD is a hell of a drug.
Right? So they had very dirty clothes on, and no shoes, and short, ratty hair. Ew.
Doesn't sound like a fairy.
I tried many times to climb over and see where it went over the course of a few years. I got scared most days because it was too high, and twice I fell off the shed, getting myself banned from climbing up there anymore. I remember it clearly still, but anyone I've just told brushes it off as an overactive kid imagination. I believe it was real.
Well, following the theme, this is from Half Bannon, and it starts with context. The Banshee is an Irish myth that goes around at night taking lives of people that are sleeping. In quotations, I am Irish.
You didn't know I was Irish.
just so you know, I am Irish.
It's a big deal.
My granddad is the third of three brothers.
I drink whiskey.
My granddad is the third of three brothers. One night when my granddad was still a baby, everyone was asleep except for brother number two, Jack, who was 5. Jack was lying in bed, unable to sleep, and everything was silent. All of a sudden, he heard a blood-curdling scream and almost fell out of his bed. Terrified, he ran to his parents' bedroom and shook his mom, but she wouldn't wake up however hard Jack shook. So he looked at her, and only then he saw. Her face was pale, with a blank expression, didn't seem to be breathing. He just knew it. She was dead. How Jack and Patty were not scared for her life is astounding to me. I don't know how you can take the loss of one of your most important people at such a young age. We still don't know how my great-grandma died, but our best explanation is that she was taken by the Banshee. I just have to trust Jack's story, as there's no other evidence. There are quite a few definitions for what the Banshee is. For example, when Sergeant Ducky says it's when a married lady gains a zombie-like personality when their husband goes away for too long and they go to other houses, begging for their husband to come back, or something along those lines. I don't know. But I think it's like a ghost that just scavenges the Emerald Isle looking for an Irish soul to steal. Jack and my granddad are still alive and willing to tell the story. Patty passed away. I'm part of a happy family that can see each other and love each other in every way, but nothing can deny the dark history.
All right, this one is from Esha, baby. A few years back, around 16 years old, I was alone in my caravan that was my bedroom situated in the backyard of a family home. I was sitting on my bed, listening to music on my laptop, when I suddenly had the impulse decision to look through the curtain directly behind me. The caravan was about half a foot away from the fence that separates our house from the neighbors, and sitting on that fence, looking straight at me, was a furious-looking toad thing.
Huh.
It was about a foot long, had the hugest frown on its face, a raggedy hat that looked like it was the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
It's the fucking Loveland frog.
Maybe. And he was holding onto a long cane that had a...
It is. You've heard of the Loveland frog, right?
Where he held it. No, I have no
idea. Google Loveland frog. Google it. The Loveland frog. L-O-V-E-L-A-N-D. No space.
It looks inappropriate.
I mean, it's got the wand. And they just don't have the hat on this one.
I mean, all right. I've never read Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's not from Harry Potter. It's like the cryptid, the Loveland frog, or the Loveland something.
I don't know. So back to the frog. I stared at him. He stared at me. A good 30 seconds, and I flicked the curtain closed and sat there a little longer. Didn't feel scared or shocked or anything, as I don't think I was actually registering what was happening. I checked about 10 minutes later, and it was gone. There was no eerie feeling associated with it. No terror or fear, just this furious-looking toad thing staring at me for a couple of seconds.
Sorry, it's the Loveland Frogman. So if you Google Loveland Frogman, that's what you'll get. Same thing. Yeah, it's mythical creature that...
I can still clear as day see it in my mind. He had one of the angriest, almost cartoon-like frowns on his face, and the wooden cane was a dark brown with swirly carvings on it. I believe in things like fairies, ghosts, and all that jazz, but I'm also a rational thinking person. Yes, it could have been my imagination or brain doing a weird hallucination, but I truly do believe it was actually there and not psychological. Also, I told my best friend about it that night, and around a week later, she sent me a print screen of a girl's Facebook post. I didn't know her, and neither did my friend. She was one of those girls that just added everyone for the socials, if you know what I mean. And the girl was complaining about going downstairs to get a glass of water and seeing an angry toad in the window. She freaked and ran away. To this day, I've never seen another post or story similar to this online. I did ask my friend's mother, who was a witch,
in quotations,
and she said it was based around negative energy. This happened in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, it's in Australia. They just have really mean fucking toads there.
Too bad
they all carry wands and wear hats. Top of the day, mate. Okay, this is from Auspicious Arrow. One day, my husband and I had two friends over. We're all sitting around chatting in the living room. They were on the couch and we were on chairs facing them. There was a coffee table between us. Anyway, as we were chatting, this white, partially transparent figure about 2 feet tall walked through the outside wall and walked between the coffee table and the couch. That's a fucking trip. It just faded away once it got past the table. What makes it even weirder is, I kid you not, it was shaped like David the Gnome. That show we watched as kids. Do you know David the Gnome?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of David the Gnome. But it was kind of a wispy white. We were all like, did you see that? We'd all seen things, and I was part of a paranormal group, so we all wrote down what we saw separately and compared notes. We all saw the same thing. Like, what does it mean to be in a paranormal group?
You just research
the paranormal. Yeah, but you'll have, like, your own separate notebooks. Like, we'll just write down what we saw, and you compare.
Stories, you talk about it, and, you know, it's just people trying to make friends, Britton.
In that house, we'd also see black wisps and white wisps float around the air. If they hit a cabinet, the cabinet would shake. There were many more of the black ones, but we'd see the white ones on occasion. It was a weird house.
Now this one is from Wally Plumsteed. As a kid, various relatives used to take me on trips, zoos, museums, amusement parks, the movies, etc. One of these trips, my grandfather took us kids to the movies. Now these old movie houses date back to the days when they had live stage entertainment. This old movie theater my grandfather took us to had an orchestra pit. Even though it's never been used in decades, seeing how vaudeville had been dead all that time. I was following my grandfather in the area between the front row seats and the orchestra pit, when just out of curiosity I peeked into the orchestra pit. There was no floor. One could see into the basement. But on the basement floor was, well, you ever heard of those old Humpty Dumpty poems? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. On the floor of the basement was a large man-sized egg with a happy face painted on its shell.
What? Okay.
It had arms and legs. It was on its back, flailing its arms and legs as if it were trying to stand up, but couldn't due to its egg shape.
What? I would question every fucking decision I made in life if I was seeing that.
What the fuck?
Like, did I just eat a weird mushroom?
I looked away at my grandfather for a second, then looked back into the orchestra pit. This time...
did you see that, Grandpa?
This time, the painted expression on his face changed. Now the painted expression was one of grief and frustration. The eyes were closed, and the mouth was in grimace. Oh, my God.
What's happening to this egg?
I looked away for a brief second or so and looked back into the orchestra pit. This time, there was no egg, just the bare floor of the basement. I looked away again, just for a few seconds, I guess looking to tell someone what I saw, but then looked back into the orchestra pit. This time, the orchestra pit floor was there. I couldn't see into the basement anymore. The orchestra pit floor had only a small handful of wooden folding chairs on it, nothing else. As the years passed, I was going to the movies on my own. Sometimes, I went to that very same theater again. Each and every time I did, before the movie started, I'd go take a look into the orchestra pit, but I never saw anything like that again. Just the plain old bare floor of the orchestra pit. The old theater is now gone. A typical victim of the expansion of home video and cable TV.
What
the fuck did I just read? That is
weird. It's just a big Humpty Dumpty squirreling around in the pit. All right, this is Quiver Full in My Heart. I've had three totally different bizarre experiences in my lifetime. Number one, East Central Tennessee. I was young, probably 7. My sister was 5. We're living in an Amish community in the middle of nowhere. Caves are numerous. Our room was on the 2nd story. Every morning there would be a creature. Once in a blue moon there was 2 that would fly by our window. It would perch on a tree not far from the house. Sometimes we would hear it land on the roof. As kids, we thought it was in the attic, but thinking back, it was definitely just landing on the roof. But what was this creature? It was hairless, but not a bat. It had a large head crest and a long mouth or beak thing. For lack of a better word, it was a small pterodactyl. Ooh. You just got a bunch of dinosaurs around your Amish community.
Goddamn pterodactyls.
My sister and I didn't really have a concept of what a pterodactyl even was, but it was incredibly real. So real that my parents believed us. My dad showed us that it wasn't in our attic, but it didn't change the fact that at dawn, most mornings, there was some kind of creature there. My parents never saw it themselves, but my mother heard wings flapping once when she came up, because we were calling her, that it was in the attic, aka had landed on the roof. Number 2. I don't know if I can call this a mythical creature, but definitely strange. I became a substitute teacher for several counties in North Florida. One morning I was driving to a school early in the morning. The sun was already well up. It was not dark, not being all caps. I was on the phone with my boyfriend and suddenly saw something, or rather didn't. There was a shape flying over the highway in the opposite direction that I was driving. I say shape because it was invisible. You could just make out an outline of some kind of flying object due to how the sun was reflecting off of it. The best way that I can describe the shape was vaguely like a military drone, too small for there to be a person inside, so I imagine it was remote control. As it and I got closer, it seemed to shift in a way that stopped the weird sun reflection on top of it, and it totally disappeared. I've never gotten a good explanation for what that was. And lastly, my most recent mythical creature was a doppelganger. I got married to the boyfriend that I mentioned previously. He and I moved to North Central Texas due to his job, and I became a stay-at-home wife so I could work full-time on a paper that dismantled the background of a specific Christian denomination. Not Amish, lol. My husband was getting up at 3 or 4 a.m. for work. I stayed in bed and slept in. I started experiencing sleep paralysis, which was absolutely terrifying. Rather, I'm chalking it up to sleep paralysis because everything else just scares me. The first incident was strange. My husband and I were in a one-bedroom apartment, but we had converted the bedroom into a full working office, and our living room was our bedroom. The bed was near the front door. You would open the door, and the foot of the bed would be to your left. I was laying in bed, starting to stir, when I heard the door unlock. I opened my eyes and saw my husband walk in. He seemed very frustrated, almost angry, which was highly unlike him. I asked him what he was doing home from work, and he snapped at me. I tried to sit up and realized that I couldn't. I was overwhelmed by what I can best describe as a malevolent spirit. It was like something was sitting on my chest. I could no longer see my husband, but I could hear him looking for something. He found whatever he was looking for and then left, locking the door behind him. You have a lot of sleep paralysis. Is it like someone sitting on your chest the whole time?
It's been a while.
You used to have it all the time, though, right?
I never had the chest sensation.
So you just, like, you wake up and you just look around?
Yeah. It's a good move. It's not creepy shit.
I felt myself get very drowsy, and I drifted off. I woke up sometime later feeling disturbed. I got in contact with my husband, who was working for a major private company that is contracted to do government work. I asked him if he'd been by that morning. He said no. I had no reason not to believe him. At the time, I thought it had just been a very vivid dream. However, that wasn't the only time. His doppelganger would show up frequently in the mornings after he had left. Sometimes I would feel extremely afraid, other times violated. Sometimes he would crawl in bed with me, other times I could feel him breathing on my face. I could never move my body during these encounters, and I could only open my eyes when he would initially walk through the door. The closer he would physically get to me, the more my eyes were forced to close. He never abused me in any way. We changed our sleeping arrangements and I got on a better sleep schedule. My husband got off overtime shifts and he was able to be home during the time frame that his doppelganger would usually show up. The doppelganger, unsurprisingly, didn't make another appearance. That is, until we moved. We moved to another apartment and my husband got a new job, though in the same vein as the last. For a little while, he was working bizarre shifts and some mornings he had to leave very early. I remember hearing the door unlock and hearing his footsteps walk through our apartment. However, the difference was that I could feel the same presence as before. The last day the doppelganger ever showed up was around 2 years ago. This time I heard the door open and multiple entities entered. I was filled with more fear than ever before. They felt genuinely evil. They were there to hurt me. My entire body was trembling. I could also feel the doppelganger there. Despite him still feeling malevolent, I could also feel that he was feeling protective of me. The bedroom door opened and the doppelganger was arguing with the other entities. I remember him distinctly saying that they were not allowed to hurt me. The entities did not speak direct words, but I could tell that they had been attracted to me because he kept showing up. He drew them there, intentionally or not. He told them he would never come to me again if they left. They fought and argued, but eventually there was some kind of agreement. They all left through the front door, and I got out of bed. My bedroom door was open and the front door was unlocked. Bizarre, because I locked the door when my husband left for work that morning, and I always closed the bedroom door. The doppelganger has never appeared since then, and I'm not sure what to make of all of this.
Weird, man.
Especially when multiple show up.
This one is from the Crimson Courtesan. I made this comment in another thread a while back. My husband and I were driving over a viaduct 50 miles per hour one night around 10:30 p.m. in November 2018. I was in the passenger seat. Husband was driving. There were other cars around us, but not heavy traffic. Anyway, I see this thing, which looked like a cross between a gnome and a dwarf with long arms hanging well past his knees. He walked right in front of our car from the right, going to the left. I couldn't understand how and why he didn't hit us. I sat there shocked for a second, and then I see my husband shoot up in his seat, looking in the rearview mirror, and he says, "What the fuck was that?" He starts telling me what he saw, exactly what I did, but he saw it directly in front of him, still going left. Then he seen it behind us, and the car behind us reacted to it as well, but they swerved to avoid it. This thing was about 3 feet tall, very gruff and stubby, gnarly, thick features. Had a hat on, maroon vest, brownish short pants.
The hell?
Didn't get to see the feet. The moment I saw it, it was inches from the right front end of our car. We should have hit it. My husband saw it like a split second later, but it was in front of him on the driver's side. We should have hit it.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap us up for the evening. Thank you for joining us while we talked about a bunch of mythical creatures. And if you have a story of a mythical creature or anything you want us to cover, send it in, entertheabysspod@gmail.com. And again, a huge thank you for the past 4 years of supporting the show. It's been an awesome, awesome time. We look forward to doing a lot of fun stuff going forward. One of the biggest things, of course, as we mentioned, 457 subscribers on YouTube. So we're 43 away from going to the Clown Motel with video and all the fun stuff. So, you know, the best thing you can do to help us grow is to share us, comment, like, get us out there as much as you can. A huge shout out to our 8 paid supporters of the show: Claytor, Lord of Soup, Curtis and Laura, Jackson, Mothman, Laura, Devin, Conklin Family, and Lou. Again, thank you all for your support. and the belief in us as a show. Now that we're four, we're like a toddler podcast.
If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe, as it really helps get us out there. As always, thank you for entering the abyss.
Until next time.